Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Not Another Teacher Podcast with me, Martin Malone.
And me, Poppy Gibson.
We're here to help you protect your mental and physical health so that you can thrive both in and out of the classroom. Not bad, episode 7.
Yay. It took us six. How is it episode 7?
Took us six to be in the air charts.
Oh, I was so happy about that. That was so cool.
Yeah, I was shocked when I looked at it. I was like, oh, wow.
When you think how many podcasts, I mean, everyone's got a podcast, right? So thanks to everyone for listening in. Like, that's really cool. That's good.
I think that's a big thing. And I just wanted to shoot that as well. Just a thank you to everyone that listens, because it's taking time out today. Hopefully, as I say, everyone finds value in it, but it is taking that time out today, isn't it? And listening and stuff like that. I think it's massive.
Yeah, no, really nice. So yeah, thanks everyone. And happy you're here. If you weren't one of the previous listeners, do go back and listen. Yeah. To episodes 1 to 6. I can't believe this is number 7.
I know, it's flown by, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's flown by. And I know, I don't know if we're going to mention it today, but I know we've got some exciting plans for future episodes.
Yeah.
Watch your face, guys. If you wondered what are Poppy and Martin going to do next, we have got plans in the pipeline. Keep listening.
That's it. But now, talking about today's episode, though, I thought we could talk about something which I saw. It was on TikTok, but it was off like ITV. And it was like, they said studies. Yeah, they said studies were showing that like 1 in 4 teachers drinks to cope with the job. And I think that's really interesting, because if it just said 1 in 4 teachers drinks, you'd think, oh, that isn't like that big of a deal. I'd expect it to be more, you know, people are quite socially. But it's that idea of like they drink because of the job. So they come home at night and they have to go like, oh, my God, I need a glass of wine or a beer or anything to almost de-stress them. And the study said as well, like 12% of teachers now are on antidepressants, which I think is mad. So if you think in every, like even in a 1 form entry primary school, realistically one person in that school is going to be on antidepressants for the job.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
And this is crazy.
It's mad, all that. And I think school is a very pressurized place. I know some schools can be a little bit toxic, but I think sometimes it's almost thinking about ways to cope as well. And I think that'd be a good one for us to talk about today, because even though like antidepressants, like if you go to the doctors and they recommend them for you and everything like that, like, yeah, I get it. And it kind of with alcohol as well, it's kind of that thing of like, I think just generation after generation, alcohol has just always been that thing of like, oh, have this to de-stress, have this to unwind. And now as teaching's getting more stressful, obviously like more returning to it. And it's not kind of that like having it. I think it's the same with everything in life. I don't think you should have anything like that to de-stress. Do you know, you shouldn't have, I always think if you need it, then you shouldn't have it. And that's always the way I look at it. Like, if you like a glass of wine, fantastic. But if you're using a glass of wine to kind of de-stress you, it means that there's a bigger problem there that has to be solved.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. The question is why? Why? Yeah. Like you say, if people are just drinking wine because they love wine, fine. But if you know, you're an adult, you can make your choices. But if you're drinking wine to try and cope, that's worrying, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's the big one. And I think it just all comes from that environment that school is in right now. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think it's really interesting. Like, we kind of left at like similar times. Mm-hmm. And I think teaching was tough then. But I actually think it's even worse now. I think it's so much worse. I think it's been worse since COVID. And it's kind of a rubbish time as well, because I think COVID could have been a time where schools actually sorted themselves out. I think mm-hmm. COVID could have been a time where they went, well, do you know what? Maybe we don't have to have kids doing as much. Maybe we don't have to have the teachers doing as much. But it kind of went the opposite way, where teachers were doing still ridiculous hours, but now they were at home doing them on a mm-hmm. laptop. And then when it come back, it was like, well, let's play catch up. And I think we're in a place now where you've got classes coming through up to maybe year 3, where they maybe haven't got the social skills that a year 3 class normally would. You've got the pressures of the job added onto it, and you've got still that ability of like that catch up thing of it. And I think schools are getting so pressurized now that I can see where this is coming from. But I think it's that idea of like trying to fix it, which is the big one.
Yeah. And I guess the issue is why it didn't change is because our curriculum didn't change. So yeah. I guess what we can hope for is we've got general election coming up October this year, isn't it? So I guess we can, you know, wait and see how people vote. And maybe if we have a new political party, we'll have a new curriculum. But I think that's why nothing changes, because, you know, in most mainstream schools and schools using the national curriculum, we're still bound by that.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's talk about coping strategies, because I think there are still so many joys in teaching, but regardless of even your best day, or even, you know, if you go on a residential and you have the best time, you will still come back exhausted because you've been caring for small people, for people that have depended on you. So even after the best day at school, you may need to find some kind of release. And I guess it's about finding a healthy release. So right, I'm going to go first. Can I share my favorite coping strategy that I use now as a teacher at uni? My yeah. favorite one is voice notes. Like yeah. after a long day, because I think as well as a teacher, even now teaching at uni, you do feel quite isolated sometimes because yeah. you've got your own stuff to teach, your own class of students who are different to everyone else's class of students. So you are kind of a bit of an island, but you must not forget you're surrounded by people who are there for you. So actually, and the people that I normally send voice notes to aren't even teachers. I just like getting their perspective. So after a long day, like recently just had some stuff going on at work, I will just like blab out voice notes to my friends like willy-nilly. And then they'll just come back with these like really wholesome, grounded perspectives as non-teachers, just like, you'll be okay. Or they just the fact they even just listen to me having a rant. So yeah, that is my number one, is venting to friends via voice notes. Like I've seen a few things on socials, like memes, where it's like me settling back to listen to my friend's memoirs on voice notes. That's literally me. Like I'll be the person sending like spamming voice notes, and then my friends spam me voice notes back, and I love it. And for me, that is number one coping strategy.
Oh, 100%. I did, with everyone who I work with, I always encourage them like to voice note. And I think it can work two ways that you can do it as well. Like they send them to me, but another one which I think is quite good, which I try and get people to do, is voice note to themselves. So you know on WhatsApp,
ooh,
you can message yourself on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, more like sitting at the end of the day in
almost
your
like a journal, like a verbal journal.
Yeah, and that's what it is. And I think what's good about it is, like, if you're doing a journal, fantastic, but sometimes it can take that bit of effort. Like you're still writing, you're thinking about what you're gonna say, where when you voice note, like you can just say it. And you can kind of speak it, and as it's coming through, you're kind of doing it. And I think always that's a powerful one. Now, I think doing it with friends, doing it with family, doing it with someone who like you trust is a really good way as well, because you're going to get that feedback. And I think actually what is really good about how you did it there, and what I say, you want to do it to someone who's out that space, because say if you were doing it to another staff member, like they're involved in it, they're going to be a bit drained from it, and there's all that thing around it. Where when you're doing it to someone outside of it, like if they haven't got any skin in the game, it's going to have no emotional drain on them. So they're just going to be there to help you, to support you. And that's going to be massive that way. And as I say, and as well as that, doing some for yourself as well. Sitting in your car at the end of a school day and just verbalizing it. Just literally saying, this is what happened today.
I love that. I love that idea. I think my problem is I would ghost myself. But I guess you don't need to listen to it back, because I suppose that the therapy is saying it and acknowledging it, right?
Oh, 100%. And that's what I always talk with like everyone I work with. Like I always say, like if they're voice noting me something, what will generally happen is I'll obviously listen to it and I may have ideas for them, but half of the ideas will come from them while they're saying it. Because they'll be like, they might be like, oh, actually, that wasn't that bad, actually, when I think about it. Or they say, actually, if that happened again, I'd probably do this. And they're doing it on the voice note.
Yeah, it's a reflection that's powerful. I love that. I love that idea.
it's that thing, isn't it? Like, before you say it out loud, this is why I think voice notes are great. Like, before you say it out loud, it's in your head. And when it's in your head, it can be just mixed round and everything. But when you have to say it, you have to kind of just focus on it that little bit more. Your subconscious is working on the background, thinking about it. And that's where you come up with those different ideas. And that's why I think, like, voice noting, to say you're doing it to your friend, doing it to your friends, or even just sending them to yourself in the car, like sitting in the car after work and just going, right, just gonna debrief about my day. I'm just going to think about it. I think it's massive because, like, I don't know about you, but, like, if we were to think about, like, summer holidays now, they feel a million miles away. But if I think about Christmas feels like yesterday. And I think from Christmas to now, some people have probably, like, sleepwalked the entire way. They've probably just tried to get through day to day, not really thought about it, just ticked the boxes and gone along. If you can spend every day, just at the end, taking 2 minutes to think about the day, well, you're going to come up with things that you might have done a little bit different. You're going to come up with things which you might have changed. And then each day is just going to slightly improve. That's a big one. So I love that. I think that's probably the best one anyone can have, like, voice noting.
Okay, cool. We've started with the top tip. Yeah. All right, what's next then? What's one for you? What's your, like, go-to?
For me, I think it's just taking some time for yourself. And I think I include the voice noting in that. But, like, other ones which I think can be really impactful is just taking after school, because it can be really tough. It can be really stressful. It's about just taking a little moment for yourself. So whether that's just going outside for some fresh air and going for a walk for like 10, 15 minutes, whether that might get a shower at night and just spend an extra 2 minutes in there, just like having a little chill. I think it's about taking yourself out of the situation that you're in, putting yourself in a different one where, again, your subconscious mind can be thinking in the background, and then it can be powerful that way. For some, it could be cooking a home-cooked meal. For some, it could be going on a walk. For some, it could be having a long shower or a bath. It could be going to the gym. It's whatever it is, but just having something every day which is just for you and almost separates from work. I think that's a big one, because so many teachers now get into school at 7 a.m., don't leave till 6, get home at, say, 6:30, 7, do another 2 hours work, then go to bed. They're not well rested because they've had no time for themselves. Because it is that thing about, you know, teaching. We've spoken about it before. Teaching is not a physical job. I know if you've got a bit of a wild class, it might be, but the tiredness from teaching comes from, like, your mental tiredness and your emotional tiredness. And that's probably why people are leaning a lot on alcohol, because they might not be physically tired, but they need something almost just to numb them because they're so drained. And really, rather than kind of numbing yourself to kind of get through a days, it should be about going, right, how can I restore my emotional well-being? How can I restore my mental well-being? And, like, voice noting to friends, I think, is massive for your emotional well-being. Mm-hmm. I think going for a walk is. I think going and seeing family and friends. I think doing an activity just for you, like cooking or taking a long bath, is. And it's those ones about almost, I think the biggest thing is treating it like a job. I get it's for the kids. I get you want to do the best for them. But it's almost when you separate it and say, oh, it's a job, that's where the big one can come and say, once I'm done, I'm done. You know, unions say that a teacher should not work more than 48 hours. I would hazard a guess that at least 95% of teachers do over 48 hours.
Yeah.
And that's a big bit. Even the stuff like residentials, which you were talking about before, I used to love going on residentials. But now, actually, when I think back about them, I can't think of another job where they would go. Oh, by the way, you're going to go away for 3 days. You're going to go away for 3 days. You're going to work 24/7. And you're not going to get anything for it.
Yeah.
And now schools, because it's cheaper, are doing them on the weekends as well, which again is great for the kids because it's cheaper for them. And that means more can access it.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's madness. Like now it's, oh, you're going to go away on a residential. It's going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's going to be 24/7. You're going to be on for those 3 days.
Yeah.
Like, the entire thing. And then you're just going to come in on Monday and teach like normal.
Yeah.
No other job would do it. Even if you were paying.
And you can't opt out. Like if it's your class on the residential, you can't opt out. But yeah, I agree, Martin. Can I tell you a funny residential story?
Yeah.
So I agree. Residentials for me were my favourite thing. And even now, I still take students on residentials at uni. We went to Spain last year for a week. I'm going to India in July. Have I mentioned? with 4 students. And the reason why I've been so motivated to get funding for that is because I love the difference you see in your students when they're out of the classroom and they're doing something bigger than the curriculum. But when I was in primary school, so because I was head of languages, I used to do the French trip, taking the year sixes to France for a week, which again, I loved. But I'll tell you one funny story that's always stayed with me.
Yeah.
This might age me. I don't actually know what year it was, but I took the year sixes to France. And while we were on the ferry, we got the news that Michael Jackson had died. So I don't know what year that was, but the news came in and all the teachers, they were saying, oh my gosh, have you heard the news? Michael Jackson's died. And then I had this one girl in my year six class who was very dramatic, shall we say. And as soon as she heard, she was like, what's everyone talking about? And I said, oh, Michael Jackson, the singer, has died. And she literally fainted or faux fainted in the middle of the ferry, like in the middle of everyone and everything, and was lying there. And I was like, okay, like I am not being paid enough to deliver the news that her favorite singer has died and deal with this. Like, and as you say, for no extra pay, but
yeah,
it's all worth it. And I love residentials 100%, but you're right. Like as a teacher, you have to do lots of bits for free and there are loads of good joys to come out of it. But equally, the emotional baggage. And even now, every time I hear a Michael Jackson song, I remember that moment of having to coach this 11-year-old through dealing with Michael Jackson's death, just thinking, what is my life?
It's mad. As I say, I used to love residentials and I think they've definitely got their place. But I think it's just that thing of just like thinking about it. Like I was thinking like
it's big.
It's like what? Say you've got to do it over a weekend or say it's in the school holidays or something like that. Even if you're going on, on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's probably about 60 hours overtime that you're going to do. And if you think about that, like 60 hours overtime, what's minimum wage now? Like, is it about £11, £12? You're talking about £650, £700. Like, and teachers shouldn't be on minimum wage and teachers aren't on minimum wage. But even if you took it at that it's mad.
Yeah.
It's that idea of there's never any like, oh, okay, well, you know, everyone who does it, like, you might not be able to get it, but you can have a day in lieu. Like,
yeah.
A little
monetary bonus.
Do you know what? That'd be class. But even if it was just literally like, listen, we know you've gone away for, you've sacrificed 2 days, which you should have had off. We're going to give you 2 days in lieu that you can use when you need. Obviously, you can't just ring up and say, oh, I'm sick or I'm taking it. Like, give us a bit of notice, but we can have it. And I think doing little things like that could massively help for teachers. But it's also teachers like standing up and just thinking about certain things and going, hang on, but you know, why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? And I think it's all those parts of teacher culture which are mad. And that I think that's what drove so many people to use those like things like alcohol to cope, because it's just having that little bit of thinking about your boundaries, which we've talked about on other podcasts, and then finding things for you which you're just going to enjoy. And I think that's a big one for me. It's putting yourself first, and that's why at least 1 in 4, we know it's going to be more, but at least 1 in 4 teachers is not doing.
Yeah. And I wonder, do you know what, thinking about it now since you said it, I wonder if the reason they're choosing alcohol, is there something in there about like being an adult you know, making a choice. Like, even when I buy like a bottle of wine now and like, you know, on a good day get ID'd, I'm like, oh, I'm feeling fresh. Like, you do feel like I'm an adult making a choice to buy this drug, essentially. And, you know, it's so cheap. Like, I honestly, the other day I went to a store, I bought a couple of smoothies for my children and a bottle of wine for me for the evening. Like, their smoothies were like more expensive than the wine. And you're like, alcohol is so cheap, it's so accessible, that I think that is part of the issue as well. But yeah, we just need better coping strategies. And so I guess another one is also thinking what can help you if it is about numbing yourself, what could you do instead? A big one for me has been finding meditation videos on YouTube. Have you ever tried them? Because they're actually a really good way of almost giving you that numbness, but without the need for any kind of intoxication, but they almost intoxicate your mind. Have you ever tried any, like, you know, sleep meditation or...
So, like, the sleep ones I haven't really tried, but the one which I do like on YouTube is like breathing ones. Like one where they tell you like when to breathe in, when to hold, when to move out. And it only takes about 2 minutes before you can really feel it. And you do feel after like 10 minutes, like really mellow off it. And I think it's finding stuff like that that works for you, which can work really well. Because it wouldn't surprise me as well if half the reason why people have alcohol is to go to sleep. Like teachers massively, I think it's 1 in 2 teachers suffer with insomnia.
Wow, like, that's crazy.
And like that probably links to the alcohol as well, because alcohol, well, it's quite funny. It makes you conk out, but it doesn't actually make you rest well. Mm. So you don't get that well-rested sleep off it. You'd probably be better staying awake and drifting off for the 2 hours. But at the same time, it probably gives people the feeling of like going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's little ones like that. To me, as you said, it's finding stuff which works for you.
Yeah.
And almost kind of, if you've got to use it to cope, cutting yourself off from it for a while and going, right, I'm using this to cope. It's probably not a good idea. I'm going to try and find different ways and strategies that work. A little bit the same way, like on a less extreme note, if every night you're getting a takeaway because you're too tired to cook,
Well,
the solution shouldn't be to just keep getting that takeaway, because you're going to feel low on energy. You're not going to feel good. You're going to end up putting on weight. You're not going to feel good about yourself. And it's just going to spiral.
Yeah,
it's
going
to be the same with alcohol. And it's just going, do you know what? If I'm using this to cope with a job, it's probably not a big problem right now. Mm-hmm. But if I keep letting this happen, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And that's what we've got to kind of solve.
Yeah. And that's why I think checking in with other people, like maybe at the end of that voice note, just go, how do you cope? Like, share your coping strategies. Yeah. Because I had a friend, she used to tell me that she would wait for recycling day on a Friday morning and then sneak all her wine bottles like into her curbside box. And she was like laughing while she told me. And then at the end of like laughing, she was like, oh, like maybe that's not great. And I was like, well, what do you think? And she was like, like maybe the fact that I'm trying to hide how much I'm drinking, it means that I'm ashamed of how much I'm drinking. So yeah, I think we just need to be open. Like, just talk to someone else about it. Do you think this is a reasonable amount that I'm drinking, or what else could I do? And I think the other one for me, so we've mentioned voice notes and connecting with other people or yourself, and doing something nice for you. For me, honestly, the outdoors, I guess that comes under your one, but especially this time of year, if you're listening to this in spring, there are baby animals like at every farm ever. So if you're in that window, like I went to a farm last week and just holding a baby animal was so wholesome. It's one of the most mindful things I think you can do, be with animals, because it just takes you away from like being egocentric and suddenly you're thinking about the animal. Like, so going to a farm for me is such a good one. Like the grounding of your welly boots in the mud and the fluffiness of the chicks, like, is so joyful. Being outside, the fresh air, vitamin D. For me, if I've been feeling cooped up in the office all day, get outside. That is definitely a coping strategy for me, getting some fresh air.
Yeah, I think it's powerful getting fresh air. And I think especially like connecting with, like, to say if you go to like a farm or stuff like that, it's going
to
be great.
Have you been to a farm this year, Martin?
I haven't, but when we got Seamus, we got him from kind of like like a big puppy center. And it was basically just three barns full of puppies in like,
what?
Yeah. And you just
in a good way, or a slightly like you should call the Daily Mail kind of way.
No, it was a nice place. Like,
a good way.
It was a nice place, but it was like free barns where you went in and everything was clean in there. They had people looking after them. They had the floor heating. They had
It sounds fun. Like, can I get a ticket? Can I get a day ticket just to go there? Because that sounds amazing.
Do you know what? But that's what loads of people were there for. So I'm going to say it was chocker while we were there. Like, there were so many people there.
Wow.
But there was probably like three other couples that were there to buy a dog. Like the others were just there just because you can just go in and you just go in and you can just pick up the dogs, and the center love it as well because they want the puppies interacting with humans.
Yeah. How have I never heard of this?
Yeah.
This was a thing. Puppy barns.
Yeah, it was such a nice place. But that idea of like you could just pick up the dogs and you could, and they had all rules and they had someone watching over. It was like all the dogs were in pens of like their breed, and it was like four or five to a pen, and then only one person was allowed in like this pen at a time. But if you went in and one of the puppies liked it, and they let you pick them up, you could pick it up and you could take it out and stroke it. But it's that similar thing. Like, it just gives you that energy back, doesn't it? Something different like that.
Yeah, I think the top tip, if you start feeling dark, find joy. And for me, joy is not at the bottom of a wine glass. Like,
no.
Unless if I'm out with friends in a fancy restaurant, that's a different situation. But if I'm just thinking I've got to sit on the sofa and drink wine to myself, like that isn't joy for me. I think you've really got to question, what is joy? What brings you joy?
Yeah.
And chasing that, isn't it? Being realistic.
And do you know what? I think what's really important with that as well, it kind of what you've talked about there about how it's not joy.
Mm.
I think when you're feeling a bit down, when you're feeling a bit rubbish, is that you've got to find what makes you happy. You've got to find that joy. I would look at alcohol as, rather than like it doesn't bring joy, it borrows joy. So like when you go and spend time in nature, when you go and visit family and friends, like when you do something just for you, you're almost like creating that happiness. But with alcohol, it's like borrowing it from the next day. So the next day, you're going to feel a little bit more anxious. You're going to feel a bit rough. You're going to feel a bit tired. Your day's going to be harder. You're probably going to be a little bit more kind of on edge during it. And then that's going to result in you having that alcohol again.
Yeah.
And then the next day you're going to feel it again, because alcohol is a depressant. Mm-hmm. It is a depressant. Makes you feel anxious afterwards. And it's not that we're trying to like scare anyone off it, but I was thinking you should never have alcohol because you need it.
Mm.
And that's the big one for me. Like, if you need it, you need to look at different strategies. If you're out and you're having a nice meal and you want to just to relax, that's fine. Like, you're like, oh, do you know what? I'll have a few of these. But if you're like, oh my God, I need to relax tonight, then it should be right. I need to find different ways to do this.
100%. 100%. I think before you reach for that bottle, ask yourself, is this really what I want?
Yeah.
And like, I've started doing that. Like, you know, when you go to family parties or social gatherings and everyone's like, have a glass of wine. I always ask now, is this really what I want? And sometimes it's not. Sometimes I'm just happy with the company and I'll be actually, no, I'm going to have like a lime and soda or whatever. Like, really question, is this what I want? Because you are in the driving seat. You choose where you go, what you put in your body. And you really need to ask, is this what I want as an adult? And obviously you can make your choices, but yeah, there's always a better choice to be made, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's what's with it, like, as I say. I think eaters are trying to scare anyone off alcohol, but it's that thing of
And I honestly, a fancy cocktail with a flower in the top is like my favourite kind of drink. but again, that's, you know, in a social situation with a friend or, you know, a fancy place.
Yeah.
And the experience isn't to hide from something, it's to embrace something.
Oh, 100%, and that's it. Like, you can use alcohol, can't you, to like enhance an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be the experience.
Yeah. And not to hide and yeah. block out other experiences, because that's dangerous, isn't it? That's dangerous.
That's it. And I think, as I say, with one in four teachers kind of coping that way, like it's massive and it's definitely something that needs to change.
And I mean, like, and that's the one in four that admitted it.
Yeah.
Because they obviously didn't interview everyone everywhere. And yeah, we've talked about studies before, haven't we, on our podcast? But yeah, definitely food for thought. I think for anyone, you know, next time you're reaching for a drink, just question, is this really what I want? Or you're in control.
And, and it's just thinking of those different methods, isn't it? And just thinking, do you know what can I do instead? And I think the voice note one's probably the biggest one, whether you're doing family and friends, someone outside, or just chew yourself on WhatsApp. Like, the more you realise on it, the better.
Definitely. And final point, also voice note the good stuff.
Yeah.
Like, when you've had that really good day, or that really good lesson observation, or that amazing residential, share that joy as well. Because I think that's the balance. Teaching's got so many amazing bits. Like, even the other day, a student, like, when they finally understood, like, some insane educational concept, they're like, I get it. Like, I came home and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy one student finally cracked it. Like, share the good stuff.
Yeah.
So much good stuff. Like, don't be afraid to, just voice note that if you had a great day. Because that'll make you feel good too.
Just expanding on that slightly before we wrap up this episode. One thing I experimented with while I was teaching was at the end of every day, all the kids, and I had to do as well, and if I had the TA in the classroom, like anyone in the classroom had to do it. But at the end of every day, everyone had to write down three positive things from the day, three things that went really well for them. And what was interesting with that was kids all hated it. There was all moaning. They were year five, like, oh, I can't think of anything. Nothing good happened. But then as the year went on, it slowly become their favorite part of the day because they were looking out for those positives more. And then at the end of the day, they wanted to share them. They had to do it. And it worked on two fronts. Yeah. One, if you, no matter how tough the day was, you're finishing in a good way. So it feels a bit better. And the second one was, which is like a little added bonus, all the kids were going home. And whenever the parents was like, oh, did you have a good day today? They were like, yeah, I had this, and this.
Actually, that's such a good idea. Rather than when the kids come out, you go, did you have a good day? What did you learn? Can't remember. That just bring it to their forefront. That's so laughing. Good.
But it was just that thing of then they were always like, oh, I've had such a good day. Because the last thing, like, and it's kind of those things, isn't it? Like, the last thing that happens is always the biggest one that you remember. And kind of it works for the kids. But in that situation, it can work for you as well, where you kind of get to the end of a tough day and then you hear some of them because you just get a couple of them to read them out, whoever wants to share it. And you think, oh, do you know what? Today was actually quite a good day.
Yeah.
And I think little ones like that can just put you into that mindset before you go home.
Yeah. Just remembering all the good that you do as a teacher. Yeah. I love that. I'm gonna start doing that with my students. They will not thank you, probably.
Yeah, well, I think that's a good place for us to wrap up. Then it is. I think the biggest one is just talking.
Yeah,
just talking, just sharing. And that's probably why, like, I like doing this podcast, because I think it's talking about the sides of teaching.
Yeah.
I don't really get talked about that much. And that probably helps as well, because it's just hearing those voices that you probably think. I mean, that's a big one, but no, we'll wrap her up there. Thanks
that
for everyone.
Fun.
It was a good one, wasn't it?
I don't feel like I need a drink after that one. So that's
lovely. Fine.
All right. Well, good speaking to you. And everyone, join you soon for episode 8.
I know. Be mad that one. Right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Take care. Bye.